Avenue.
They're back.
It's sports all around the clock. Sports all the time.
Horrible, he's a horrible human being that shouldn't be in the league, is what I believe.
For one final season, live on Penguin Radio, this is The Tailgate.
But, I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cross-country runner to you? Playing against the top tier teams in the nation.
You sure it's not top?
Top.
Dude, I love Blake Griffin. I'm not a Clippers fan, but I love Blake Griffin.
The final season of The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein starts right now.
And here we go.
How's it? Welcome to the show. This is the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have live on Penguin Radio from the studios here at Penguin. The Penguin Studios at Dominican University of California. To my immediate right, Brock El Capitan Beal. Right here, Hunter Hornstein. You are listening to the tailgate. Welcome back to the show.
How's it going?
Fantastic. How are you, Brock?
I'm doing great. It's a great Thursday. It's a great day to be in the studio. Excited to be here again. Second show of the season. It's going to be a good one.
Do it every Thursday night live here on radio.dominican.edu from 9 to 10 o'clock. Our farewell tour, so to speak. The last season of the tailgate ever in the history of Everdom. And that's coming at you right now. Thanks for tuning in wherever you may be tuned into, whether that's Washington, Camas, Washington, to be exact, Long Beach, California, Study Hall up at the library, wherever you may be. Thank you for making us a part of your night. Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein here with you, and for the next hour, we're going to bring you more sports action, sports talk radio, everything that you want from the world of sports. Brock, show number two, away we go.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. We've got some another Penguin recap coming up in a little bit. Actually had some big games, pro games tonight. Baseball playoffs, October baseball going on tonight. Big game, close game, actually. We watched the eighth and ninth inning before we came over. Pretty close game, so we'll recap that. Again, Penguins, we had an NFL game tonight and a couple college football games as well, so we'll just give you the scores for those right after the first break. But, yeah, stay tuned. We should have a special guest coming at 9:30, a little surprise guest for the people that are listening. So that'll be fun. He has never been on the radio before, so it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table.
Crash course here on the tailgate, so you want to tune into that the second half hour of our show. If you're a new listener, that we're not going to try to trick you. We know that you guys know sports. We're not going to throw numbers at you, statistics. We're not going to throw any of that analysis, so to speak. We're just a couple of guys that like to talk sports, and basically, it's our opinion. We both know that neither of us are going to sway each other either way, but we try anyway.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to persuade you one way or another because you are extremely stubborn. Anybody that knows you knows that. I'm just going to yell into the mic as loud as I possibly can to make myself seem smarter than you.
Really,
it works a lot of the time. See what I did? See what I'm doing here? It works.
Now you're blowing out your levels there. So if you're listening at home, you need to learn that mic technique there, Brock. You need to kind of get away from the mic there. I know you just go hell's bells.
I do.
You go all in, kind of like that GTA game we were playing earlier. Just balls to the wall.
It's a violent game. I don't know.
Great night in sports, though, and we'll recap that as well. Second show of the tailgate. If you're not following us on Twitter, you done better do that quick. The DU Tailgate, that's where you can find us. Also on Facebook, just search facebook.com/thetailgate. All the cool stuff and wacky whatevs we got going on. I'm not entirely sure if we've posted anything funny in the last couple of nights.
Well, no, we haven't because we have that bet going, which you are strongly in the lead. We're actually tied, but you have one team that's one win away from the World Series.
I have
Series
two teams
now.
That are two wins.
Yeah,
wins
so
away.
You're borderline winning the bet.
Brock,
I'm struggling a little bit.
You're essentially.
It's game seven.
You're essentially the Dodgers and the Tigers right now combined playing for your lives. So if you guys didn't tune in last week, we've got the Pick'ems.
Yep.
And we already split
We already split. You bet that the Broncos would not cover the spread, the 28-point spread, the record spread, which they did not. They were on pace to in the first quarter. It was 14-0 after the first quarter.
We watched a little bit of that
game.
But
then somehow the Jaguars decided, you know what, we're going to score 12 points
first time all season. We watched a little bit of that game earlier. And
I was really excited for the first quarter.
You were happy.
I was pretty happy. And then, of course, my prediction that Alfred Morris would not have any good runs because he's my fantasy football running back came true, and they lost to the Cowboys. So I have that. So we're tied up 1-1. But as of...
As of right now, you've got the Dodgers winning the NLCS against the St. Louis Cardinals. I obviously had the Cardinals winning it, and then you had the Detroit Tigers beating the Boston Red Sox. I, of course, chose the Red Sox, and right now the Red Sox and the Cardinals are in the driver's seat. Excuse me, in the driver's seats, 3-2 in that series. The Dodgers had to win yesterday. They pulled it out. The Red Sox could have been in firm. They could have been up 3-1. If they won last night, the Tigers were able to pull it out. So right now, your teams and you yourself fighting for your life.
You know, never say never, but this is kind of a lesson for me to not ever put baseball on the pick'ems. I'm just going to stick to like football, basketball, hockey. Really not going to put baseball series on the pick'ems anymore.
So if you guys didn't listen last night, what's on the line tonight? And we've decided that we're going to... It's almost like cruel and unusual punishment, but not. And
that's not, there's gonna, no money being... That'd be too easy. That'd be too clean.
And it's not a gentleman's bet because we're not gentlemen. So there has to be something on the line this week.
Yeah.
We decided, you know, shots, get into the kind of the college atmosphere here, get into the spirit, except it's going to be hot sauce.
Yeah, and I'm not really a huge fan of hot sauce at all. Like, not at all.
You don't put it on your tacos when we get
really,
it at
no,
all.
I'm not a fan. Not so this is really not going to be fun for me, but I'm going to do it if I lose. I mean, just so we clarify, if for some miracle we tie and I come out at least even in this thing, we're going
Rochambeau,
one shot. No two out of three. Ooh, we're going old school
game
seven. Yeah.
Game seven right away. All right.
We're not messing around. No. One round of Rochambeau. With the shot glass of hot sauce on the table right next to us.
Can we play a round right now? Just I got the competitive juices flowing.
No, because I don't want to give away my strategy. No, I don't want to give away my strategies.
Come on.
No.
Come on, Brock. Let's go. All right, just ready? One and done. Rochambeau shoot. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Rochambeau shoot.
I won.
See?
Hey.
That's how bad it could have gotten for me.
And I didn't even use my strategy.
All right. So that's what's on tap, kind of recap. Last week's show, we had a good one, our first show for the final season.
We came out hot. We came in hot.
Came out guns a-blazing. We're going to take our first time out, but before we do that, we'll get to that Penguin recap for you. Brock's got a couple of soccer stuff he's going to hit. We've also got women's volleyball and men's golf to get to you, and then we'll just hit that break and come on back ready to go for the tailgate here.
Yeah, we'll see you guys in a minute. Have a good break.
You're not going to do the soccer? I'm throwing it to you. No, I did my own research here, Brock. This is women's volleyball and men's golf here. I wrote my own notes. You were too busy playing GTA and you didn't do it.
You're giving me that blank stare right now. You were playing Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, so we don't have those soccer highlights for you at all. The women and the men lost though earlier today in the islands. The men losing a big time heartbreaker
in overtime,
double overtime, and the women losing. Well, not really the same thing, but. Anyway, your women's highlights, two wins in the past week for them, sweeps over Holy Names and Ursuline College. Freshman Maddie Powelson had a career high in kills with 11. She also had 3 service aces and 8 digs. Have a day. How about that?
Yeah, she killed it. That was a great game to watch.
The Jessica Jones, the senior co-captain, 10 kills. Amanda Wasco, the transfer sophomore, with 7 kills. Valerie Larson with 12 digs, leading the team in that category. And the Lady Penguins' overall record now sets to 5-14 after those two wins. Their next match is going to be a PacWest match against Academy of Art at the Kezar Pavilion on Saturday, October 19th. And that is your women's recap right there.
I would like to throw out that Sam Raines did get Player of the Game for that last game on, two nights ago?
Men's golf. Dominican finished 12th in the Sonoma State Invitational. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Brock.
I'm just trying to give my girl a shout-out. I'm sorry. I just know that she did well, so I'm trying to
Drew Nelson was the Penguins' top finisher. And next up for the golfers, they'll compete on October 28th and 29th in the Classic at Tribute, hosted by Texas A&M. Is that Commerce? I think that's Commerce. I can't read my handwriting. Awful at that. But there's your abbreviated Penguin recap. I think the soccer teams play maybe once more this weekend before they come back.
The women lost to Hawaii Pacific tonight. 2-0. They lost 2-0 in Hawaii tonight. So another downer. I'm trying to give you a game score.
That's not a score, though. You got to give me numbers, man.
Like, they lost 2-0.
There you go. There's a score.
I said that.
Brock Beal growing up in front of our eyes. We're going to take a quick break here on the tailgate. When we come back, we'll have something for you. I don't know. Keep tuning in, though, here on Penguin Radio. We're a mess. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the show, the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have, radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. This This is the Tailgate Live with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein.
We apologize for that first segment. We were a little busy today. We're back, though. We'll be fine.
We can't say,
just take it slow.
We can't say that we were busy when we already openly admitted that we basically spent the entire prep time for the show playing GTA.
I consider that being very busy.
Well, I mean, a lot of people
we
would
could
not
argue
agree
that.
With you.
We could argue that. I mean, it's okay.
Oh, I'm prepped. I've got my my half sheet of paper here with chicken scratch that I can't even
read. I'll tell
you
what, thank God for technology because my phone is just so clutch, just all the time. All those scores, all those really high-end baseball scores that we just read at you a little bit ago.
Everything's coming off of smartphones here in the studio. So
I mean, why would you use anything else?
The age of papers is pretty much
done. It's gone.
Concluded.
The trees are very happy. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Saving our
next,
ozone.
Our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about an issue, some would say. Some would say it's not an issue. Some would say it's lacking in sports, and that is celebrations and showboating. We've seen examples of this all throughout the baseball season, especially at the very end when teams are getting into the playoffs or missing out of the playoffs. You see it all the time in football after big plays or touchdowns. You see it pretty much throughout the world of sports. However, some people, I'm not going to name names because we'll get to that in a minute, seem to take it a little bit too far, and it seems to irk the losers. And I think it's funny that it's always the losing team that gets super bothered by it.
Always.
I mean, you're not going to get mad if your team's like celebrating and you won. It's funny.
Who yells at the other team after you win or get a touchdown and say, hey, you know what? I didn't like my teammate doing that. You're not going to
exactly.
say that.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
So is this an issue of people celebrating or not being good sports, if you will? Not having good sportsmanship, which is one of the things I think they teach you in like peewee soccer.
Yeah, but how long does that last, though?
About the first goal that I scored in my soccer career.
Let's be perfectly honest.
I was fist pumping and swan. Yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest. There's kids out there that are playing peewee football that, you know, as soon as they get a juke or something or score a touchdown, they're going, you know, Cousin Terrio, ooh, kill him. I mean, that's the way it is. Sportsmanship, you teach it, but I don't know if it's necessarily sinking in.
Well, do you think that it is more poor sportsmanship or poor losers? Because I think there's definitely two different sides to the argument. And I think that, honestly, people are just becoming a little bit too sensitive, for lack of better words.
People are too soft, yeah.
I think that, you know, back in the days, back in the, you know, 80s, 70s, 80s, when Miami, University of Miami football, and we've all seen the 30 for 30 film on ESPN, The U, you know, great. I think it was a great show. When they were celebrating and doing like the, you know, the pistols out of the tunnel and the smoke and the fog. And that makes sports to me more exciting to watch because it just adds that next little level of competition. Like if we were having a competition and I scored, I wouldn't just, you know, oh, good job. You know, it's okay. It's okay. If we're doing a competition.
Perfect example. When we played wiffle ball about a month back. Okay. We got a bunch of the guys together and we played wiffle ball and every time somebody hit the ball hard or got – I mean, we're fired up.
Yeah, and this is for Sunday afternoon barefoot wiffle ball.
Yeah, you're not playing, I don't think. If you are a professional athlete, you're not playing the game, even if you're an athlete at all, at any level. When you step between the lines, you step on the field, competitive juices get going, and unless you're, you know, stoic to all, you know – unless you're just business, and you're just not a personable person, mm-hmm. I think that's a little different. However, I don't know if you can necessarily, fault somebody for celebrating something that happens on the field. Could you celebrate too early? Yes.
Yeah. There's lots of examples of that. Trust me, there's lots of examples of that. But I think getting back to the idea, I think that the one thing that I do have a problem with that I don't think people can be faulted for complaining about is, for example, I can't remember what team it was that jumped in the other team's pool in the outfield.
Oh, the Dodgers with the Diamondbacks.
Okay. You have a locker room. You have a locker room full of beer and champagne probably after that win. if they got into the playoffs, clinched, right? They're going. Stay in your locker room. You're not at your ballpark. Just stay. You have a whole room that they have prepped. After you just beat their team at their field and kicked them out of the playoffs, they're giving you all this stuff to go enjoy yourself in your own space with all your teammates and your coaches and whoever else is there that wants to celebrate with you. Go celebrate in your own space. I understand coming out and acknowledging the fans maybe, or you know, coming out and giving the fans a round of applause or whatever it may be. But to go and like desecrate somebody else's field, I mean, that's a little over the line for me personally.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here. What if this is after all the post-game celebration within the locker room, within the clubhouse, nobody's in the ballpark anymore, the fans have all left, there's only the maintenance crews starting to clean up or whatever, what have you, the ushers cleaning up, the grounds crews may be out there, and there's nobody really, I mean, even the broadcasters might be going home at this point. What about that, when there's nobody in the ballpark?
Again, I would just say that you know where else has a pool that you can jump in? Probably the hotel you're staying in 20 minutes down the road. Go get on your bus, go back to your hotel, go open the bar at the hotel, and go crazy. But again, and it's, I know that it's not just a business for those guys because it is their life, but that is a place of business for so many people, not just players, but guys in the front office. And I mean, how would you feel if somebody came into Albert Park and, you know, went crazy on your field and like dug up all the dirt and stuff? Like,
you'd be pretty upset.
Yeah.
I mean, Maui won on our field. They beat us.
And yeah,
they
exactly.
Pop champagne in their clubhouse and, you know, probably ruin the carpets in there. But my point is, here's another little devil advocate little thing here. Don't let them win on your field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your home turf. Simple, you got to protect your turf.
I mean, I can be mad all I want at that Maui team over in the islands for beating us and winning our league championship, winning in front of our fans, in front of me, in front of our staff, the players. We could have beat them. Simple as that. We beat them. They are not celebrating. So yeah, don't let them clinch at your place.
Absolutely. And again, that goes back to people being just maybe, you know, not really understanding that, hey, we probably should have beat them, and maybe you're just a little bit too sensitive that there's, you know. Okay. It goes back to the same idea. I'm not saying that you're being sensitive, but same. That's what I'm getting at.
That would be the devil's advocate. That would be the counter to that. Yasiel Puig in their game, he hit the ball to right field, bat flip to end all bat flips, was not a home run. He turns it into a triple. He's a couple of steps away from third. But first of all, he hits the ball, flips the bat, two hands up, walks out of the batter's box, and then starts running once he realizes, oh, that ball's not going out. Gets to third base, a couple of steps prior to getting into the bag, hands up, slapping the hands, start looking at the crowd, telling him to get loud. I mean, he was pretty animated. Is that a case of 22 years old in your first big league season from Cuba, also, not from this country?
Right.
You know, 22 years old, letting your emotions out? And he has done this in his entire brief career already. Been a very... he's flaunted it. He's been very animated. Is that a case of just a 22-year-old being a 22-year-old? Or is that a case of, I know how good I am, I'm going to show you up, and is that a case of celebrating early?
I think it's a little bit of both. I can see how, you know, you can blame it on him being a little bit younger and not being mature enough to grasp that. But he's not like it's his first time on a baseball diamond. I mean, it's not like it's his first time in a big game. I'm sure he played in big games in Cuba. You know, they keep saying, oh, you know, this crowd is pretty loud, but oh, for Puig, it's nothing, because when he played in Cuba, they were on the field, like, in their face while they were trying to run. You know, they keep going back to that. Honestly, I love that. I think hitting a homer and just flipping the bat, or, like, doing, you know, stare, like, hit it and just stare back at the pitcher is one of the hardest things you can do as a baseball player. Just crunch that ball, just crack it. And you know, I mean, he probably thought it was going and just flipped the bat. I mean, the fact that it didn't go out is a little bit of an issue, but I like the attitude. You have to have a little bit of an attitude when you play sports, especially in big moments like that. You have to have a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of an edge to give you that competitive advantage, I think.
So Adrian Gonzalez did the same. He also hit a double in that game as well, got to first base and did kind of a hand gesture, more like a fist pump thing, yelled back at his, looked at the direction of his dugout and start with screaming, pumping him up. That was brought in the first two runs of the game. Mm-hmm. And Adam Wainwright on the other team, he's with the Cardinals, a starting pitcher. They asked him about Puig, and he said, "I didn't see that, but I saw Adrian Gonzalez, quote, doing some Mickey Mouse antics or something along those lines, called the Mickey Mouse antics."
He's just upset because he gave up runs.
He didn't pitch that game either. This is just a guy voicing his opinion. So the next game, Adrian Gonzalez hits a two-run home run. After he touches home, he comes back to the dugout, hands up to the head as if he's doing the... How about that? A little bit of a jab there. I mean, it gets punctuated by the home run. If that's not enough, he goes ahead and goes to with the little antics up by his head.
Yeah, I think that you do that, but that's acknowledging and kind of acknowledging the other team's weakness in a way. If that pitcher, he's not even pitching and he's, you know, trying to defend his teammates, but, you know, he could have just said, you know, it happens. It's baseball. It's sports. You know, people talk. There's trash all over the field, every sport. It happens. You know, you can't let it get to your head, which is what he probably should have said. You know, don't let it get to your head, blah, 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 that whole song and dance that every sports player ever has always said. Oh, it never gets to my head, whatever. But he showed those players on the Dodgers where their weakness was and where they had a little bit of a soft spot. And then they go out and, you know, abuse it. It's just perfect. I think it's perfect. I think it's just a perfect example of why you just need to keep your mouth shut, say the right things all the time. You know, don't let anybody get under your skin, because you can't do that in sports. If you let that happen, you're never going to be a great player.
It's kind of like I heard a thing where it said, okay, if the Cardinals want to complain about that, then let's go back in their highlight reel of this postseason, see how many times they pumped their fist at second. They screamed while bouncing off the mound. I mean, it's kind of tough to call somebody out on that when you know, and everybody else knows, you're going to do it. You get in that heat of the moment, you know, even if you're going to go and maybe even a touchdown.
Yeah.
And a touchdown dance. When the NFL took that away, I was heartbroken. To me, that's my favorite part. That's your little, you know, shining moment.
Chad Johnson should be in the Hall of Fame just for his touchdown. There should be a separate hall in the Hall of Fame for great celebration artists, and he should be the first one to go in there, in my book. It's great. I love it.
And, I mean, you look at stuff like the Lambeau Leap. That's become tradition. Jimmy Graham dunking the football over the goalposts.
Gronk Spike.
Where is that? How is that not too much? How is that not showing up your opponent? I mean,
yeah.
The whole cliche, hey, act like you've been there before.
I mean, honestly, if I'm in the NFL and I score a touchdown, I'm going nuts. I mean, how often, like, some of those guys, you know, career-ending injuries, they score a touchdown, literally the next play that could be their last play. So you have to play literally every single play. I know it gets said a lot. You have to play every single play like it's your last play. Who knows? Jimmy Graham may never score another touchdown in his entire career. He might be done the first play they have on offense. He could be out.
God forbid that happens.
God forbid. Yeah, knock on wood, because he's, I mean, great player. I don't want to see that happen. I'm just saying that's where you get to say, you know, yeah, okay, sportsmanship, that guy's been working for 24, 25 years to get to where he is, the best in the business at what he does, arguably.
Soccer players.
Oh, they're the worst.
You score,
they're
and
the
they
worst.
Take their shirt off. They're,
I mean, they have
the, jump into the crowd.
They have the
their
biggest
team,
goal in the history of
their
sports.
Their entire team is coming around. It's a 90-minute game of keep away. They score, and they act like they've won the Super Bowl, World Series, and NBA Finals all in one little game, and it's a friendly. It doesn't even count for anything.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, yeah, it's unreal. And not to mention, they have the biggest goal in sports, and they get what, one goal every four games? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
Yet when you slide tackle a guy, you get a red card.
Yeah. I'd be like, slide tackle, whoop!
Is that
like,
the most upside down?
People,
is
like,
that the most upside down sport or not? Or what? Come on.
Yeah. It's Come definitely on. Not an American sport. Let's just say that. You know what that is? It's soft. It's a little bit too sensitive.
You know, that, and we're probably going to get a couple of soccer players that come after
That's
us for
okay.
that.
They like
but
us.
Let's,
we're fine.
I mean, let's be
we're
honest.
Good.
Let's be honest. If you were gonna, this comes right into our topic here, over celebrations. Score a goal, high five, cut it out. I mean, come on. No, we don't need to see you sliding on the ground, ripping your shirt off, jumping into the stands. You don't need your whole bench to come off to tackle. I mean, come on. Give it a rest.
They act like every single goal is a walk-off home run, which essentially it could be. I'm not arguing that. I mean,
the
there's
game
not
could
very many goals
one
because
nothing.
It's soccer, but you know. But when it's like the fifth minute and they score a goal, you don't need to have your entire bench and your coach in his $5,000 suit power sliding across the grass and like, you know.
The only time it's okay, World Cup.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're wearing the red, white, and blue, even better.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the only time that I think I actually would watch soccer because it's the only time that America is relevant. And hey, for the first time in like two World Cups, I don't think we were in the last, or we were in the last one, but not by very much.
I couldn't tell you.
We didn't even make it out of qual, or we made it just out of the first qualifier. So.
I will admit, I watch more of the Women's World Cup than the men's, and for one reason, Alex Morgan. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to take a time out here on the tailgate. When we come back, we've got our guest in studio. If you have been talking to him, you probably know who it is. We got him last minute. Brock wants to keep it under wraps, though. You're listening to The Tailgate only on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, radio.dominican.edu, live here on Penguin Radio. This is the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have, the tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein. Brock Beal to my right, El Capitan. My name is Hunter. And in the studio, we've got a wonderful special guest.
Can I introduce him?
Go ahead.
I've been waiting for a long time. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, standing 6'1", 135 pounds, sopping wet, the one, the only, yes, you know him. Little baby Jack Beal. Jack, say hello to the people out there.
Hello, everyone. It's been a long time coming.
Jack, you got to get closer to the mic.
You got to get we're all right up on it.
You're out in like
you're out in like
Guzman
Pluto
right
out
now.
Here.
Come on.
You put me on this awkward table over here. It's weird. I don't know, really know. I don't know what to do with my hands. But it has been a long time coming. Been listening to this show for a while. So, and I did weigh myself earlier, 175. I put on the freshman 15 in the first half of the first semester. So, it's always good.
Well, look at you go. Hey, you look good. You look lean. You look fit. You got a little scruffle though. Your mom and dad are coming down. You might have to shave that bad boy off.
Oh,
coming up pretty
I always shave as soon as they leave. I leave the scruff for them because I know they love it.
That's good. That's good son right there. Yeah, that's good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, Jack is my younger, less attractive brother. He also is about 100 pounds lighter than me. No joke. He is a freshman on the Dominican lacrosse team this year. All-American. U.S. lacrosse All-American. He's kind of a big deal, ladies and gentlemen.
He was on television. Jack Beal giving us actually some Twitter love here. About to make my first appearance on the tailgate. And then he tags Josh Smith.
Oh,
so a special shout-out to
Josh
Smitty,
Smith.
Who is definitely listening right now. And even Josh says, it's an honor. Take it seriously. Some of my more proud moments have come on the tailgate. So pressure.
Josh, you got to like... Like raise your expectations a little bit. I mean, if some of your proudest moments have come on this show, you got to go do some stuff, man.
Let's be honest. We all know he doesn't get out too much. But
he doesn't get out a whole lot. That's very true.
We love him anyway.
That is very true. All right. Our next segment, Jack's going to jump in with us. We're talking loyalty in sports. Now, we're not necessarily saying that there is none, but there is definitely a trend, which is starting in high school sports and going up to pros, where it's diminishing rather quickly. What do you think about that?
I think when you think loyalty in sports, people say, a guy has to stay with the team for their entire career. They
right.
get drafted by them. They grew up in that hometown. You know that hometown hero and whatnot. Fact of the matter, that's just not true. I mean,
no. There's
if you're going to talk loyalty in sports, and Jack, chime in if you want to. It's you got to put the word conditional in there.
Well, and that word conditional is synonymous with money. The cha-ching. As soon as the crosstown rival starts throwing the big bucks at you, they gone. You bet they're gone. Are you kidding me? As soon as a player reaches a certain point where he can get paid, his loyalty it's got to be out the window.
Well, now we have to think about what level of sports we're talking about, because you said at all levels. So I agree with that in the NFL or
Brock said
NBA.
All levels.
Yeah. Brock said all levels. I agree with that where it does money is a factor, but I think if you're a high school athlete, where you grow up is where you should go to high school. I don't think that you should be transferring to all these schools because they have a better sports team.
Unless it's to Camas to play football, go ahead and transfer in. Let's bring some pretty
yes.
state title.
Unless, of course, you want to come to Camas and or you're a year late, but I mean, I guess we'll take you anyway.
Hey, you know.
And same with college. I think that, I mean, sometimes in college people transfer, and if it's for the right reasons, yeah, sure. But if it's because your team isn't doing as good as you thought they were and you want to go play for a better team, I mean, you made that choice in the beginning, and I think you should stick with it.
Okay, so here's a question for you then. And again, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Silas Red, Penn State, after those sanctions came down,
That's completely different.
I mean, you said if whatever the circumstances, he made a commitment to go there. Why does he transfer to USC then? He wanted a chance at a national championship.
Yeah, but that's under certain circumstances, like I said. And I think that would be one of those extreme circumstances where that is.
So when
acceptable.
Is it not okay?
I think that what Jack's trying to say is an example like Cam Newton, who was at Florida, and all of a sudden this guy named Tim Tebow shows up, and it's like, oh, well, hey, I think he'll probably start.
Do you fault a guy, though, for wanting to play?
No,
are you okay with the guy that says, no, go take my starting position. That's fine. I'll sit on the bench. That's okay. I'll be
well,
happy.
Well, see, the thing is, if Cam Newton would have stayed at Florida, I believe that Tim Tebow would have graduated when he was a sophomore, I want to say. I believe sophomore or junior. So he still would have had a full year to play at Florida. The same number of years that he played at Auburn. He only played a year at Auburn. We all forget that. We think, oh, he was there for, 3 years with all the crazy stats that he puts up. No, he was there for 1 year. He was at Florida, transferred, had to redshirt, okay, went to a JUCO, won a junior college national championship, and then transferred back to Auburn. Okay, so he took a kind of a roundabout way to Heisman, and some would say questionable route. But at the same instance, if he would have stayed at Florida, yeah, he would have rode the pine for two more years, but he still would have been a starting quarterback for the Florida Gators. Is that, can you, I mean, I kind of can fault him for that. I mean, you commit to Florida knowing full well who the starting quarterback is. Everybody knew who Tim Tebow was after his freshman year after they won the national championship. I mean, you know who you're going to be behind when you commit to a team. Am I wrong?
What was his scholarship at Florida? How much money did they give him to go there?
Not as much as the bookie paid him to go to Auburn, I'll tell you that right now.
But no, my point is, though, that I don't think with college it's a little different. High school, the recruiting thing, I get that. I mean, if you're going to another outside your school district to go play for a, let's put quotes around it, a powerhouse school, and there are those out there in high school sports. But if Cam Newton's getting more money to go to Florida, even though he knows, you know, darn well that he's probably not going to play, if you're getting money to go to college, though, I know it's a mute point because he got a hell of a lot more money in other ways, but that's got to play a factor.
I mean, obviously, I think it probably would if they weren't just giving him a scholarship. It's not like they're handing him, well, legally, they're not just handing him a check with money in it, you know. They're not just handing him a manila envelope with thousands of dollars in it. I mean, who knows?
Hey, we all know thousands of dollars comes in the black briefcase.
The black briefcase. Oh, yeah. That's six figures.
Or in the form of a car.
In the form of a bright red sports car. No, but I feel like with college, that would be more of just I feel like they all would just get full rides at some point. I mean, I feel like the difference in scholarship and tuition is not going to be that great, especially for a star player like that. It wouldn't be that big of a difference to entice somebody to transfer. So I feel like the only reason for that would be playing time, which I understand a little bit about playing time wanting to transfer out. But if you know, like, go in knowing willingly that there's a guy ahead of you that's really, really good, I just don't know. And what you guys are kind of saying, I'm paraphrasing a tad bit here, what you guys are kind of saying is that loyalty in sports is pretty much out the window the second you graduate high school.
Absolutely.
So you
I want to bring this up. And the reason why I think this is because, you know, Peyton Manning's going back to Indianapolis this weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And he's probably going to win.
Everyone. Exactly. No, and that's a good. Yeah, I mean, no, let's be honest. That's a good point that Jack brings up. And they're probably going to win by a lot.
Yeah.
That is an offensive juggernaut in Denver that's happening right now. Jim Irsay, who has had a huge relationship with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, an icon. Even you could argue might still be an icon.
I would have to agree.
With the Colts. And, you know, Irsay with an interview in the U.S. Today takes some shots at him, you know, takes a little bit of a stab at him, saying, quote, "You make the playoffs 11 times and you're out in the first round 7 out of 11 times. You love to have the Star Wars numbers from Peyton." And he goes on to say, "Mostly you love this ring." So he's taking a stab at Peyton, saying it was great that we had him. We love those, you know, video game numbers that he's throwing up. The records that he's breaking, but in that time that he was there, Roethlisberger's won multiple championships, Brady's won multiple championships, Breeze has won a championship, Joe Flacco's won multiple. So he's kind of maybe taking a not kind of he is taking
no, he's
a stab
for sure
here,
taking a stab
saying,
at
"Hey
him.
Peyton, you know we love you, but hey, by the way, thanks for one championship, man. Thank you."
Well, now we're kind of even maybe a little bit changing topics and loyalty and team player on player. So now we're talking.
Ownership.
Coaches and management and ownership. And I mean, that's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think it's kind of unnecessary, but to be honest, I mean, Peyton Manning only won one championship when he was with the Colts. He was there for so long and he was so good. I mean, you think
they didn't have they never had a full roster when he was there though. You look at the teams that won it when he was in Indianapolis, you know, the New England Patriots, Steelers, all those teams, they had full rosters for like 4 or 5 years. Peyton Manning always had, really, really good offense. Defense was kind of eh. And then the defense got pretty good. But then he lost all of his run game. He never had the complete package when he was there. And it's just a little bit unfortunate that I think Irsay is kind of just throwing him under the bus to kind of be like, oh, look, new shiny toy. Here's Andrew Luck. Forget about that guy. Here's our bright new shiny toy. And I think he kind of has to do that, don't you think? I mean, he was the one that made the decision ultimately, wasn't he, to release Peyton?
He might have had his hands tied, though, a little bit with Peyton. I don't think anybody thought Peyton would come back the strength that he is. I think if you asked John Fox, if you asked Elway, they would admit, I think, maybe to a man, that even they're surprised of what Peyton's doing. So at the time, it looked like the right move. Nobody really knew. It was very unknown. You have an opportunity to not block a very good and a very NFL-ready Andrew Luck. I want to take a pass, though, just the field. Ursay, I don't want to say he doesn't have ground to say what he says, because, frankly, Peyton's not a member of that team anymore. You don't have to have that loyalty. But doesn't he kind of owe a little bit to Peyton? They have a brand new shiny stadium because of him. They brought that
the name.
What he did for that organization beyond the field, doesn't that warrant a little bit of, hey, you're always going to be my guy, man, and I'm not going to throw you under the bus to the media like I do or like I just did?
Yes.
I think that it's also his comments and his quotes from that interview. And his recent tweets, have been brutal. I think they're paralleling a little bit.
Yeah,
they're
Wednesday. He kind of tried to backtrack, not really. On Wednesday, this is what he said. Those expressing negativity about the concept of building well-rounded teams with great QBs, around great QBs to achieve championships, have negative agendas. Basically trying to say, hey, those of you who are trying to poke at me.
My ability to manage.
You guys are doing that because you don't like me.
Or they just know what they're talking about. Obviously, I know what I'm talking about, right, guys? Right? Yeah, thanks,
you could
guys.
Run an NFL team, bro.
Absolutely run an NFL. No.
Every Sunday, like,
I mean,
on Madden.
I do. In Fantasy League, hey, I'm like 2-4 now. I'm killing it. No, what I was going to say is that his comments and his tweets make it sound like Peyton opted out. He's, like, attacking Peyton, saying, no, like, he left us. We don't need him. We don't need his numbers. You're the one that cut him. You're the one that didn't sign his contract extension. It's not like he was like, yeah, I'm out. Like, you guys, I'm done with the Colts. Like, whatever. He wanted to come back because he wasn't sure where he was going to get another shot. So he wanted to come back to Indianapolis. And Jim Irsay was kind of like, you know, we're moving in a new direction, man. Like, I'm sorry. We're moving in a new direction. And now he's totally just under the bus completely. 180.
Parallel a little bit with that. And just the idea that management all of a sudden turning on your player when the management doesn't get their way. This past offseason with the Texas Rangers and Josh Hamilton, Hamilton leaves. After a full year of contract negotiations, he says, you know, once the season starts, we're not talking. Okay, let's make something happen. He wanted to stay. He doesn't, and takes a bunch of money, goes somewhere else, and the Rangers kind of say, dude, what the hell? Well, you know, you had a whole year. If you really want him, you can lock him up.
Yeah, if you really, I mean, it's not like they don't have a lot of money to throw around. It's a Major League Baseball team. Good God, how much money do you want to throw at a guy? Seriously, if you really want him on your team that bad, throw the money at him if he deserves it. Along those same lines of deserving a little bit of a contract, Brian Urlacher. Oh, my God. Played his heart and soul out. Like, almost is probably basically crippled by now. Playing middle linebacker for, I think, like 12 years, maybe 12, 14 years, something like that. For the same team, same number, never switched. Played injured, played hurt, led him to a Super Bowl, multiple defensive MVPs, and he comes back and says, you know, guys, I've probably got one more year left in me. I would really want to remain a Bear. Can you give me a contract extension for a year and just let me retire as a Bear? Nope. No thank you, sir.
That's rough.
Dropped him like a bad habit, and then nobody picked him up because, yeah, he is old, but at some point, don't you think that a player like that gains a little bit of loyalty? Just a little bit from management or whoever it is making the decisions and just say, you know what, we're going to probably give you not the money that you want. And I think that was ultimately the issue, that he didn't get the money that he wanted. But, I mean, throw your man a bone. I mean, come on. It's Brian Urlacher. I have a Brian Urlacher jersey in my closet in Camas, Washington. I've never even been to Chicago. And I know who Brian Urlacher is and how great of a player he was. I mean, throw the man a bone. I know my friend Ryan Bender would be begging him to come back right now. They are hurting.
Well,
hurting.
I think in both these cases, Peyton Manning and Brian Urlacher, probably Peyton more than Brian, they're kind of getting the last laugh. I mean, let's be honest. Peyton, he's having a pretty good 2 years in Denver. And, I mean, sure, the Colts are doing well, but obviously the Broncos are doing better. The Bears, I mean, Brian Urlacher obviously isn't playing anymore, but they're kind of struggling without him.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is doing well, but their team as a whole is
I mean, it's a leadership
thing.
Not
doing as well as they
would have. Right? It's a team leadership thing. He's not in the locker room. He's been there his whole career.
Absolutely.
The franchise changes when he leaves.
And you know the difference is between and a franchise like that and a, and I don't hate to say it, but a franchise like the Baltimore Ravens, they were begging Ray Lewis to come back and just come to the locker room before games. And he said, you know what, guys? I'm taking my family time. I'm not going to do that. But that's the difference between having a, two leaders in different club, three leaders, actually. Let's throw Peyton in there, too. Three leaders in three different organizations, and only one out of those three, out of their all-time, some of their all-time greatest players to ever come out of that franchise, do they want to bring back in. Only one guy. Even though he's retired, they want to bring him back in some fashion. And he was the one that kind of said, you know, no, not so much. The other two, pretty much cast to the wind. They're pretty much gone. They wanted nothing to do with them. They're old, hurt. I mean, business decision, I mean, pretty clear cut. It's a business decision. But at some level, it's got to be personal. I feel like it's, if you've been around that long and you've done that much for a franchise, it's got to be personal at some point.
Here's an interesting thing. Let's switch over to the NBA a little bit. Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, that whole fiasco.
That whole thing's going on right now.
Ray Allen leaves probably at the right time. He saw where the direction that, you know, the Celtics were going. When he left and went to Miami, ton of flack. Oh, my goodness. How could you leave? You're bailing out on your teammates. You know, Garnett, Pierce, cold shoulder, didn't want to talk to him and whatnot. Now they leave, tables are turned, and everyone's demanding apologies.
Well, you think Ray Allen goes to the Blazers or the Nets that he gets any grief? He goes to the Heat and wins a championship in the first season? I mean, if you're one of the best players and the best team offers you money to go there, you go there and you win a championship.
Not to mention you're winding down your career, you're looking ahead of you. And exactly. He is very smart. He's looking ahead, he's looking at himself saying, hey, this team is going down the drain. I have an opportunity to win. I want to win. And every player is going to say that.
And he's pretty much single-handedly saved them in the one game where he hit the three-pointer at the buzzer. I mean, that's a big move. But the Nets now are contenders. They're contenders in the Eastern Conference, whether you want to believe it or not. I mean, they've been bad for so long. Even without Pierce and Garnett, they were contenders last year. People were like, hey, wait a second. Who are these guys? You know, so kind of the same thing you're saying, even though Garnett and Pierce are kind of on the downward slope, I think the fact of what the way they acted towards Ray Allen, where they literally would not look at him in the eye.
They gave him the cold shoulder.
They literally put their heads in their towels and will let him walk by in a pregame. And now they're going to a team that arguably could contend with Miami, not just in the whole league, in their conference, right? Could contend, and they went together? You kidding me? He went by himself.
He's the awkward third wheel.
He really is. Those two partnered up the whole step of the way. They went to Boston together. You know, now they're moving on. They're leaving Boston together. They've really partnered up and tag teamed the whole league and just said, you know, hey, this is a package deal. You want one of us, you're taking both of us. I mean, I feel like that's kind of the way the deal went down. So for the way they acted, I think they do owe an apology. If not to the fans, not to other teams, not to whoever, just to Ray Allen. I think he deserves an apology for the way they acted.
What bothers me is that the fact that it seems like they don't get it. They don't get what Allen was trying to do. We get it.
Which is exactly what they're trying to do now.
I mean, they really look like hypocrites at this point. You know what he's trying to do. Like you mentioned, to borrow your phrase, throw the guy a bone. I mean, give him the benefit of the doubt. Let him be happy that he's winning a championship. You guys went to the finals together. You won a championship together. You know, you were brothers. Be happy for him. You know, you can't tell me he turned his back on us. No, he didn't. He saw what was ahead. He knew you guys were going to be crap. And now you guys are doing the same thing.
You know what it was, though? There's always that one guy that, like, breaks up the band. He was the guy that broke up the band. He broke up the Boston Celtics.
No.
Doc is gone. Doc is gone. Ray Allen left.
And,
Doc Rivers is now gone.
Doc is looking at another ring here probably with the Clippers. I mean, you're going to – they're all going to higher ground. They're going to greener pastures.
So you know what I think it is? Honestly, I think that Garnett and Pierce were bitter that they didn't get a better deal out of it because Pierce bailed and got, you know, a good trade, good money for it. Rivers got traded. Doc Rivers got traded. He's going to do great. And they were kind of sitting there in Boston just going, well, there goes the fellas. I guess we're odd men out here. So I guess we better get ours. You know, we better go make our money somewhere else. And I think that's probably why they left. They just split the band up. They broke the boys up. You know, and that's kind of what happens. That right there sums up loyalty in sports. You have loyalty as long as it's all hunky-dory and you're winning and everybody's happy and playing well. And the second that dime drops and something goes wrong or somebody leaves or you start losing, all that loyalty that you've built up throughout the years is gone instantly, especially in pro sports.
Do you think maybe that this Ray Allen and this whole thing was a little bit on a magnifying glass because it was in Boston, which is such a big sports city?
Oh, absolutely.
City.
If this happens in Charlotte, if this happens in New Orleans, you don't hear about it.
Boston fans should kind of zip it. They still got the Patriots. They're doing good this year. They've got the Red Sox.
Well,
they're
Boston,
still in
okay,
it.
Okay, well, Boston, that opens a whole new can. Boston don't fans get, are the most spoiled fans of
don't
all
get,
time. I
don't
mean,
get him going on Boston. We'll be here for 2 hours.
If they don't win four championships a season or a year, if they don't win all four major championships, they're whining and complaining all the way to the bank.
I was in Boston on Super Bowl Sunday 2 years ago when the Patriots were playing the Giants, and I literally saw a guy with a chainsaw making an ice sculpture out of Tom Brady. It was the most detailed thing I've ever seen in my life. And you know what? I bet they put an M80 in that thing when they lost and blew it to bits. It took that guy like 6 months leading up. Just he was assuming that Tom Brady was going to be in the Super Bowl. And they probably just destroyed it instantly, probably before the game was even over.
I mean, hey, that's fan loyalty. We're getting into a whole new worm that I don't even think we have time
for.
There's
no such thing.
Because we already covered
none.
We already covered bandwagoners last show. If you want to go back and listen to the podcast, go for it. We've already covered that. We tore that apart. I hate them. I know you feel the same way. Going to Camas High School and seeing all those orange or green and yellow jerseys the day after Christmas.
Don't get me started. We're on a
different topic. It's horrible. Anyway, to sum it all up, how much loyalty do you think still exists in professional sports? Actually, we'll go college and professional sports. How much loyalty do you think still exists on a scale of 1 to 10?
College, I don't know. College is a little different. I think it's not necessarily loyalty because I don't think, because one, you're not getting paid. I think that speaks a whole lot to it. You know, if you grow up and, I mean, look at, you're on the subject of Peyton Manning. Peyton, everyone got upset when Peyton didn't go to Ole Miss. Instead, he chose Tennessee. I mean, can you fault him? No. I mean, that was his choice. That idea that if so-and-so goes there, you have to, or you grew up in Santa Monica, California, you got to go to USC. You know, if you go to, you know, Alabama, you're just going to win. Well, what's wrong with that?
It's the right thing to do.
Pro sports, same thing. I mean, if you're getting paid to win a championship for that team, that's your employer. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You hear all these athletes say, they're my employer. That's exactly it. It's just a business. That's all it is. And you're the employee until you're not. Until you're fired, until you find another job. And if you find another job with the rival team, so be it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think college, there's definitely more loyalty just because you're making a choice by yourself. You know, as an 18-year-old kid in high school, you're making a choice of where you want to go. Professionally, sometimes you don't get a choice.
You don't.
So why
most
you have
time.
To look out for yourself. So I feel like there's
not just yourself, your family.
Yeah, they're just slim to none loyalty. It's all about the money.
I mean,
we all know that. It's not hard to say that, but I think there's very little loyalty left in professional
all
sports.
All three of us, I think, after this conversation, can come to the agreement that loyalty in the three levels of sports, high school, college, and professional, the most loyalty is in high school.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have
hometown.
A choice. I mean, you grew up there. You're supposed to go to high school there. You can transfer if you want, but it's kind of frowned upon. I mean, you go there for 4 years. Those are your friends. Your teachers come to your games. I mean, that is true loyalty, team spirit right there.
Spoken like a true college freshman right there.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Fresh out the oven right there. Tell you what.
So hey, young, so naive.
Go Paint Makers. Quick shout out to Paige Beal. I just found out that Brian Urlacher jersey that I was just bragging about, yeah, that got thrown away in the garage sale, so I no longer have it. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Madre. Really appreciate that one.
Loyalty
nostalgia
strong.
Gone.
It's a little scary she went through our rooms without us being there. I wonder what else she found.
Nothing good, that's for sure.
Jack Beal has been our guest on show number two of the Tailgate. Jack, you want another word there?
Go ahead. Want one word, just because I'm a Beal. Can someone please tell Oregon they're not in the NFL and they don't need to wear the pink uniforms for Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Thank you very much.
Wear your team colors, please.
Thank you very much.
Go Dogs.
Jack Beal has been our guest.
We really didn't talk about that before the show either. We had the same idea.
We're just about out of time here on the Tailgate. 9 to 10, and it is 10 o'clock, so it is that hour. Brock, show number two in the books.
Yeah, good one. Thanks for coming in again. We will see you next Thursday, 9 p.m. We'll try to have another guest for you guys. I think little baby stepped up pretty hard. He's a little sick. He's not feeling very good. He's just so little. He can't stay healthy in those dorms, those disgusting Penafort dorms. He just can't stay healthy. Thank you for coming out, ladies and gentlemen. And
for Brock Beal, I'm Hunter Hornstein. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. You've been listening to the best damn tailgate that you're ever going to have. The Tailgate Live every Thursday night, 9 to 10, our farewell season. This is it. We'll hear you next week. Thanks a lot for tuning in, everybody. Have a great night. Good night.